ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5, entitled Lord Rishabhdev's teachings, text number 25.
Matto pyanantat parata parasma swarga pavarga dhipater nakinchet येषां किमु स्यादितरेण तेषां अकिञ्चनानां मयि भक्तिभाजाम्।
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation: I am fully opulent, almighty and superior to Lord Brahma and Indra, the king of the heavenly planets. I am also the bestower of all happiness obtained in the heavenly kingdom and by liberation. Nonetheless, the Brahmanas do not seek material comforts from me. They are very pure and do not want to possess anything. They simply engage in my devotional service. What is the need of their asking for material benefits from anyone else? Purport: the perfect Brahminical qualification is stated herein. Akinchananam mai bhakti bhajam. The Brahmanas are always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Consequently, they have no material wants, nor do they possess material things. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 11.8, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains the position of pure Vaishnavas who are anxious to return back home, back to Godhead. Nishkinchanasya bhagavat bhajanon mukhasya. Those who actually want to return back to Godhead are nishkinchana. That is, they have no desire for material comfort. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises, Sandarshanam vishayinam athayoshitamcha ha hant hant vishabhakshanato api asadhu. Material opulence and sense gratification through the association of women are more dangerous than poison. Brahmanas who are pure Vaishnavas always engage in the Lord's service and are devoid of any desire for material gain. The Brahmanas do not worship demigods like Lord Brahma, Indra or Lord Shiva for any material comfort. They do not even ask the Supreme Lord for material profit. Therefore, it is concluded that the Brahmanas are the supreme living entities in this world. Shri Kapila Dev also confirms this in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29:33. Tasman mai arpitashesha kriyarthatma nirantara mai arpitatmanah pumso mai sanyastha karmanah na pashyami param bhutam akartu samadarshanat. The Brahmanas are always dedicated to the Lord's service with their bodies, words and mind. There is no better position than a Brahmana who thus engages himself and dedicates himself to the Supreme Lord. We are continuing to read from this beautiful chapter, Lord Rishabhdev's teachings. And for the last few days, we have been reading different verses spoken by Rishabhdev to his sons, in which he glorifies the position of a Brahmana. The verse we are reading today is also in the same line, which glorifies a Brahmana. And Srila Prabhupada in his purport takes one word from this verse and explains that as the most perfect quality of a Brahmana. Prabhupada says, the perfect Brahminical qualification is stated herein, akinchananam mai bhakti bhajam. That a Brahmana is akinchana, that he does not need anything material or he does not possess anything material, and mai bhakti bhajam, he is always engaged in devotional service
to the Lord.
In the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very beautiful episode, and in this episode, the most opulent of all persons, the king of heaven Indra, explains what is the problem of possessing material opulence. Akinchanana means to not have material opulence. And Indra, out of his own realization, Indra, out of his own experience, is teaching us what is the problem in possessing material opulence. As the saying goes, experience is the best teacher, but only fools learn by it. So sometimes even great personalities like Indra have to go through the experience and to learn the lesson the harder way. Have to learn the lesson as to how material opulence could be a hurdle in one's progress on the spiritual path. This is the chapter which is entitled, Indra Offends His Spiritual Master Brihaspati. Once upon a time, Indra was sitting in his palace, Indrapuri, along with his wife Shachi Devi on the exalted throne. All the different demigods were surrounding him, were worshipping him, were offering their respects to him. The apsaras were dancing as the gandharvas were singing beautiful musical notes of their songs. Over his head was a beautiful white umbrella which shone like the full moon. Indra was being fanned by chamaras and was offered all kind of paraphernalia in worship like a great king would be worshipped. As Indra was seated, thus being worshipped by all the different devatas, his spiritual master Brihaspati entered into the assembly. When Brihaspati entered into the assembly, Indra made two mistakes. He did not rise up from his seat to offer respects to his guru, and he did not offer his guru a respectful welcome. And the cause of this, Prabhupada explains, was that Indra had become extremely proud because of the material opulence that he possessed. The material opulence had entered into his head, and so much had it covered his intelligence that in spite of his guru coming there, he did not get up or offer a respectful welcome to his guru. Brihaspati was a great soul. Although Indra had disrespected him without saying a word, though he possessed the power to curse Indra, Brihaspati left the assembly. Indra came back to his senses, and Indra realized that he had committed a great aparadh to his guru. Guru Helanam. He had been neglectful to his guru. And then in four verses, Indra condemns himself, the act which he did, and then in one verse, Indra makes a firm resolve. These five verses given by Indra are all out of realization, are all out of experience. He has learned the lesson the harder way now. So in four verses he condemns himself, but simply condemning is of no use. After condemning oneself and realizing the mistake one makes, one must make a firm resolve not to make it again and to work upon it now. So Indra condemns himself in four verses, and in the fifth verse, Indra makes a firm resolve to go and beg forgiveness, to work upon the mistake he had made. So in his condemnation, he explains in two verses very nicely what is the problem of possessing material opulence. He says, Aho batamaya sadhu kritva vai dabra buddhina Yanmaya Aishwarya Mattena Guru Sadasi Katkrita. Guru Sadasi, my great spiritual master, Katkrita. I disrespected him. I offended him. And what was the cause? Aishwarya Mattena. I was completely intoxicated by Aishwarya. I was intoxicated by material opulence. Aishwarya Matta. And secondly, Dabra Buddhina. I was less intelligent. Because of being less intelligent and because of being Aishwarya Matta, intoxicated with material opulence, although Brihaspati, such a great Brahmana, such a great sage, my spiritual master,
I disrespected him. And then Indra is giving us the conclusion why one should not have material opulence. He says, Ko griddhyet pandito lakshmim tripishta papaterapi yaya aham asuram bhavam nitodya vibhudeshwara. He says, I was Tripishtapapati, the king of all demigods who are in the mode of goodness. But because of possessing material opulence, what has happened to me? Asuram bhavam. I, who am a sura, a demigod, has accepted asura bhav, demoniac mentality. If this demoniac mentality wouldn't have come in me, would I have offended my spiritual master Brihaspati? No. But because I was controlled by this asura bhava, I have offended my spiritual master Brihaspati. Indra says, anyone who has material opulence, the consequent result is, from a sura, he becomes an asura. Indra was not only sura, the king of all suras, the king of all demigods. But because of possessing material opulence, Aishwarya, he took to the asura bhava or the demoniac mentality. And therefore Indra says, Ko griddhyet pandito lakshmim. Is there any pandit, any intelligent person who will ask for such opulence? He says, my dear friends, learn from my example. I had so much opulence and from asura I became an asura and offended my guru. One should not want to run after such lakshmim. Ko griddhyet pandito lakshmim. Will a pandit, a learned man, run after material opulence, seeing my example? That from asura one can become asura. Therefore, Indra concludes by saying, material opulence will lead to asura bhava. And when one gets asura bhava, naturally one will commit aparads, naturally one will commit offenses, naturally the goal of one's life will simply be sense gratification. That is what an asura is, aparad and sense gratification. So anyone who gets material opulence will be a victim to these two things. Because his bhava is asura bhava. Sense gratification. Asuramante iti asura. One who takes simply pleasure in asu, in breathing, that is the body. Sense gratification is an asura. So asura bhava means sense gratification. And asura bhava means aparad or offense. So Indra says, my asura bhava leads me to sense gratification and to committing aparad to my guru, Brihaspati. Therefore, the conclusion is that material opulence leads to asura bhava. It leads to pride. Kunti Maharani also prays, Janmaishwarya Shruta Shribhir Edhamanam Madhappuman Naivarhati Abhidhatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. Anyone who is born in a high family, has great material opulence, physical beauty, or great scholarship, madhapuman, becomes proud. And then such a person cannot call out for the name of the Lord with great feeling. My dear Lord, you are the property of those who are materially impoverished, akinchana gocharam. And therefore Prabhupada's purport is interesting. It focuses only on akinchana mai bhakti bhajam. And that is what will be the theme for the talk today. Akinchananam mai bhakti bhajam. Kunti Maharani clearly says, any of the material opulences, birth, high parentage, beauty, wealth or learning will cause pride. And then a person cannot chant the name of the Lord feelingly. Indra is saying the same thing. Kunti is saying the same thing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying the same thing. Jada vidya tato mayar vaibhav tumar bhajane vadha. If one has jada vidya, then one gets maya's vaibhav. Lot of wealth, lot of scholarship, all of these things come and then tumar bhajane badha. It becomes a hurdle in the practice of Krishna consciousness. So Indra says material opulence is asura bhav. Kunti Maharani is saying that material opulence leads to pride. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that material opulence, maya's vaibhav, is a hurdle to practice Krishna consciousness. No wonder that a great Brahmana would want to keep himself in poverty. No wonder that a great Brahmana would want to be akinchana. Already he has the opulence of scholarship. Already he has the opulence of birth in a high family of a Brahmana. Why add more by amassing a lot of material wealth? Is scholarship not sufficient to make one proud? Is birth in a high Brahminical family not sufficient to make oneself proud? So Brahmana is thinking already these two things, my birth as a Brahmana and my knowledge of the Vedas is sufficient to make me proud. So why add to it by getting more and more wealth? Therefore in the Vedic times, the Brahmanas would want to keep themselves in poverty voluntarily, right, to maintain humility. Srila Prabhupada told the story of Raja Krishna Chandra. There was this Brahman in Krishnanagar, and Raja Krishna Chandra went to this Brahmana, and Raja Krishna Chandra was offering material opulence, a lot of wealth, position to the Brahmana. But the Brahmana said, no, I do not want this. He said, I have a few disciples, they will go and collect some rice, and I have a tamarind tree and some tamarind leaves. I'll boil the rice with tamarind leaves and eat it, and I'm very much satisfied with that. I don't need this material opulence that you're giving. And Srila Prabhupada explains that rice boiled in tamarind leaves tastes very nice. And the Brahmanas were very satisfied simply with that. The Brahmanas voluntarily made themselves akinchana. Voluntarily they kept themselves in poverty, understanding that already two things I have is sufficient to make me proud. Why add more and divert from the goal of life? Therefore, Govindpur was telling yesterday that in any time there is a story, they say, once upon a time there was a poor Brahmana. We never read a story saying, once upon a time there was a very wealthy, aristocratic, rich Brahmana. No. Every story begins, once upon a time there was a very poor, poverty-stricken Brahmana. That is the characteristic of a Brahmana. That he keeps himself in poverty voluntarily, understanding that material opulence is the cause of pride. And anyone who is proud, naivarhati abhidhatum vai, one cannot chant the holy names of Lord Krishna feelingly. Tvam akinchana gocharam. Kunti says, you are the property of those who are materially impoverished. So Rishabhdev is very clearly saying here, Brahmana does not simply mean poor. If Brahmana means poverty, then every poor man is a Brahmana. Is it not? Anyone who is in Dharavi staying in a slum is also a Brahmana because he is poor. Anyone who does not have money, anyone who does not have material assets is a Brahmana, because Brahmana means no material assets and poverty. So Rishabhdev is qualifying what a Brahmana is. And Prabhupada chooses that word to focus on in the purport. Not simply akinchananam, not simply materially impoverished, but mai bhakti bhajam, engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Janmana jayate shudraha samskarat bhavet dvija, veda pathat bhavet vipraha brahma janati iti brahmana. By birth everyone is a shudra. And then when the upanayan samskar is given to such a shudra, he becomes a dvija. So dvija is not a brahmana. All those who come and show their 25 paisa thread saying, this priest gave me Gayatri and this thread, he is not a brahmana, he is simply a dvija, because he has gone through the upanayan samskara. Such a dvija, when he studies the Vedas, then he qualifies to become a vipra. Veda pathat bhavet vipra. So someone may come and say, in my childhood they gave me upanayan and now I have studied the Vedas also, therefore I am brahmana. No. You are simply a vipra. Veda pathat bhavet vipra. And such a vipra who understands the essence of all the Vedas, understands the supreme absolute truth, the supreme Brahman, Krishna, Brahma janati iti brahmana. So Brahman does not simply mean akinchan, material impoverished. Brahman does not simply mean upanayan sanskara, then he is only a dvija. Brahman does not mean simply the study of Vedas, then he is simply a vipra. Brahman means he who understands the Supreme Absolute and serves the Supreme Absolute in devotional service to him. Mai bhakti bhajam. What a beautiful word. Rishabhdev is using. No confusion about who is a Brahmana. So, Prabhupada would give example that if you have 100 rupees, then 1 lakh rupees is not included in 100. But if you have 1 lakh rupees, then 100 rupees is automatically included in 1 lakh. So someone may be akinchana or dvija, but he is not a Brahmana. But if someone is a Brahmana, Brahman automatically means akinchana, Brahman automatically means dvija, vipra, everything is included. Like in 1 lakh, 10, 100, 1000 rupees is automatically included. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, such a Brahmana, who is not simply materially impoverished and in poverty, but who is engaged in devotional service to the Lord. Mai bhakti bhajam. But today in society, we don't have such Brahmanas. We have Brahmanas who are called as Smartas. The smart Brahmanas. Interestingly enough, the word Smartha comes from the word Smriti. There are the Shruti Shastras and the Smriti Shastras. All those who follow the rules and regulations of the Shruti and Smriti are called as Smarthas, from the word Smriti. So the Smarthas are very, very expert in following all the rules and regulations. But what is the purpose? Smriti. Smriti Shastra is meant to give you Smriti of Krishna. But they are following all the rules of Smriti and forget to have Smriti of Krishna. Smartavya satatam Vishnur vismartavyo na jatuchit. Sarve vidhi nisedhyashur etayor oeva kinkara. All the rules and regulations of the Shruti and the Smriti are meant to give you Smriti of Krishna. And if by following the rules of Smriti, there is no Smriti of Krishna, it is useless. The smart Brahmanas follow the rules of the Smriti, but do not want to have Smriti of Krishna. Udayan Prabhu was telling me a beautiful story just recently when we were going to Sayan. He was telling a beautiful interaction of his with Srila Prabhupada. In 1974, Udayanand Prabhu was in Chicago, and this is the old Chicago temple. Just outside, a few kilometers away from the old Chicago temple, was a beautiful crystal clear lake. 1974, Srila Prabhupada gave Brahman initiation to Udayanand Prabhu and gave him Gayatri Mantra. He was very excited that now he was a Brahmana, right? And he could also chant Gayatri. So that evening when he got Gayatri, he chanted the Gayatri Mantra. He had not learned the mantras looking at the paper. Next morning he thought, I should go on the banks of the lake and chant my Gayatri there in the morning. Many devotees would go to the lake and chant their rounds there. So Udayanand Prabhu went to the bank of this lake and sat down to chant his Gayatri Mantra, very erect, and his finger wrapped on his Brahman thread, and he was looking at the paper and chanting the mantras. At that time, a Ford car came there, and from that Ford car got down His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And he was mentioning that this Ford car was driven by Amrish Prabhu, the great grandson of Alfred Henry Ford. He said, many people in this world may have Ford car, but can you have Mr. Ford as a chauffeur for you? That was Srila Prabhupada. He had a Ford car and he had Mr. Ford's grandson, Alfred Ford, as a chauffeur, as a driver for him. So Prabhupada got down and Prabhupada was looking somewhere else. Udayanand Prabhu saw Prabhupada, but Prabhupada did not see Udayanand Prabhu. So Udayanand Prabhu saw Prabhupada and offered his obeisance, his hand still wrapped on his Brahman thread. As he was chanting Gayatri, he just bowed down and again resumed the chanting of Gayatri. So Prabhupada turned around and started his morning walk on the bank of the lake. And on his morning walk, he came right where Udayanand Prabhu was sitting and chanting Gayatri. Prabhupada stood there for 2 minutes, looked at Udayanand Prabhu and left. And there were a few sannyasis also along with Prabhupada, and the morning walk continued. Udayanand Prabhu in a rush and hush finished his Gayatri and rushed back to join the morning walk. Sudama Vipra Swami was there and he came and said to Udayanand Prabhu, why didn't you offer obeisances to Srila Prabhupada? Udayanand Prabhu said, but I offered obeisances when I saw Srila Prabhupada. Sudama Vipra Swami said, but Prabhupada did not see when you were offering obeisances. Should I tell you what Prabhupada said about you? He said, yes, please tell me what Prabhupada said about me. And Sudama Vipra Swami told Udayanand Prabhu what Prabhupada had said. Prabhupada had said So here is this person, this disciple sitting and chanting Gayatri. What is the value of his chanting Gayatri? The spiritual master comes and he is not offering obeisances. What is the value of his chanting Gayatri mantra? Better that he offer obeisances and leave the Gayatri mantra. Right. So Udayanand Prabhu was telling that from that day onwards, all the time before he chants Gayatri and after he chants Gayatri, first he offers obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, because he got that instruction directly from Srila Prabhupada. What is the value of chanting Gayatri if the spiritual master comes and you don't offer obeisances? In the Gayatri mantras, one of the Gayatris is Guru Gayatri, Smriti of Guru. Even in the last verse of Guru Ashtakam we chant, Dhyayan stuvam stasya yashastri sandhyam. During the three sandhyas, during the three Gayatris that we do, Dhyayam stuvam stasya, we are supposed to remember Smriti of Guru. So here we are following the rules of Smriti very expertly by chanting the Gayatri mantra properly, and Guru comes and we have no Smriti, we are not offering obeisances to the spiritual master. So the smart Brahmanas are very expert in following the rules and regulations of the Smriti Shastra, but are not concerned about having Smriti of Krishna, having Smriti of Guru, serving Krishna or serving the spiritual master. On the other hand, we have those who are not born in Brahmana families, who may not be very expert in following the rules and regulations of the Smriti, but under the guidance of the spiritual master, they have become such a great Vaishnava that there is constant Smriti of the Lord in their mind. There is no value just to follow the rules and regulations unless one comes to the stage of remembering Krishna and serving Krishna. There is no value of being akinchananam unless one comes to the stage of being mai bhakti bhajam, serving the Supreme Lord Krishna in devotional service to Him. And then the smartha brahmanas will oppose. And then the smartha brahmanas will object. How can you make amlecha into a brahmana? How can you make a yavana into a brahmana? So many people were objecting. Like Gaurang Prabhu gave the class the other day, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So many people were objecting, how can you initiate these people into brahmanas? Srila Prabhupada writes in so many purports that all these Indian brahmanas, smarthas, are now objecting, how can you give brahman initiation to westerners? Shyamanand Prabhu was giving nice class and he was telling that these smarthas are objecting, why you are giving initiation to shudras, why you are making them into brahmanas? And Shyamanand Prabhu was giving a very interesting insight, a very interesting point. He was saying that in the Bible it is said, man shall have dominion over animals. When Jesus Christ says, man shall have dominion over animals, what does that mean? Does it mean, man shall have dominion over animals, therefore they should kill animals and eat animals? If that was the meaning, then Jesus wouldn't have said, thou shall not kill. In one place in the Bible it says, man shall have dominion over animals, and the same Bible says, thou shall not kill. So when the Bible says, man shall have dominion over animals, it does not refer to killing animals and eating them. And Shyamanand Prabhu was giving beautiful example. Just like sometimes the father says to the son, my dear son, you have this younger brother, you shall have dominion over your younger brother. So when an elder brother has dominion over a younger brother, does it mean that the elder brother should kill the younger brother? When the father gives right, okay, here is your younger brother, I give you dominion over him. So when the elder brother is given charge of the younger brother or dominion of the younger brother, that does not mean he should kill the younger brother. Rather, that dominion or charge is given so that he can elevate the younger brother. So the elder brother now takes care of the younger brother. He has dominion over the younger brother. He takes charge of the younger brother and slowly elevates him, teaches him, trains him up, and gradually helps him grow up, come to the same level as he is. Similarly, when Bible says man shall have dominion over animals, it does not mean to kill animals, but to benefit animals in such a way that they can one day in some lifetime come to the human form of life. Elevate them, not kill them. Dominion or charge does not mean to kill, but to elevate them. Similarly, when the Brahmanas are given dominion over all the other three Varnas, that does not mean to exploit them, but to elevate them. Not to keep them Shudras, but to make them brahmanas. Elder brother is thinking, my younger brother is a fool, he's playing around, so let him remain a fool. No. When the father says to the younger elder brother, you have dominion over your younger brother, it means to elevate him to the same level as he is. So when brahmanas are given charge of the shudras, it does not mean that keep them shudras. Brahmanas are given charge over the shudras means they should elevate the shudras to the level of being brahmanas by training them, by giving them opportunities to practice Krishna consciousness. Right. This is a very interesting concept. Thus, in the Vedic path, Brahmanism is not at all by birthright, but by qualification. Anyone who is qualified to be a Brahmana should take up the activities of a Brahmana. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagasha, not janma karma vibhagasha. Not based on birthright, but based on qualities. So if someone has the quality, then a Brahmana should train him and elevate him to the position of being a Brahmana. So we find in the Vedic times so many such examples who were not born as Brahmanas, but were elevated to the position of a Vaishnav, and therefore automatically a Brahmana. And they have shown the quality of akinchananam mayi bhakti bhajam. Such people who are not born as Brahmanas, by the mercy of the spiritual master, by the mercy of a devotee, they were elevated to the level of a Vaishnav. And they showed the spirit of a Vaishnav, the spirit of a Brahman. Akinchana, being materially impoverished, does not mean simply being impoverished in wealth or no material opulence. It's not that you have material opulence or it's not that you don't have material opulence. What does akinchana mean? It means the spirit. Akinchana does not mean simply lack of wealth. It means the spirit. I may have a lot of wealth, but if I'm using all of that wealth in Krishna's service, I am still akinchana only. Right. Mahanidhi Swami in his lecture at Cross Maidan was explaining what happens when one chants Hare Krishna. Harinam Sankirtan, chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, makes you go progressively through three stages. It first brings you to the stage of Deha Darshan, then it brings you to the stage of Atma Swarupa Darshan, and then it brings you to the stage of Sakshat Darshan. Right. Very beautifully he was explaining. He was explaining that our heart is just like a mirror. And on the mirror of our heart, there is so much dirt now. In the mirror, we are supposed to see ourselves, Darshan. We take our darshan in a mirror. But when the mirror is covered with dirt, then we cannot see ourselves. We cannot have darshan of ourselves in the mirror. But when you clean the mirror a little bit, and when the dirt is still there but a little clean, then the first darshan is a very hazy darshan about what you are. Very unclear darshan of yourself. And then when you clean the mirror completely, then there is very clear darshan of what you are. And then you continue standing. The last stage is, not only do you get your darshan, but you get darshan of something else also. This analogy is interesting because this explains the three stages of chanting Hare Krishna. When one starts chanting Hare Krishna, practices the chanting of the holy name, then Cheto Darpana Marjanam. The mirror of the heart slowly starts to get cleansed. And when it gets cleansed, the first stage is it's not completely cleaned. Little cleaned only. When it is little cleaned, you can get darshan of yourself in a very hazy way. What is that? The first stage is Deha Darshan. What does Deha Darshan mean? As I start chanting Hare Krishna and the mirror of my consciousness is getting pure, till now I was thinking my money, my body, my wife, my children. Now I start thinking this body, this wealth, my family all belongs to Krishna. That is the stage of Deha Darshan. Deha Darshan means one starts seeing what this body actually is, whom it belongs to. So as one starts chanting Hare Krishna, one comes to this as the first conclusion, that this body is the property of Krishna. This stage is called as Deha Darshan. Second stage is Atma Swarupa Darshan. When by continuing to chant Hare Krishna, yes, body is Krishna's, money is Krishna's, property is Krishna's, family is Krishna's, I'll still continue to chant Hare Krishna. Now my cheta darpan, my heart becomes more cleansed, perfectly cleansed. No trace of impurity. And then when one comes to that stage, what happens? He comes to Atma Swarupa Darshan. He says, yes, the body belongs to Krishna, but I am not the body, I am the soul. And the soul also belongs to Krishna. And as he continues to chant, he actually comes to a level where not only Atma Darshan, Atma Swarupa Darshan. He can now see what is his form in the spiritual world. Atma Swarupa Darshan. In the Chitta, mirror of his consciousness. And then when he continues to chant Hare Krishna, he comes to the last stage, which is called as Sakshat Darshan. Just like first the mirror is dirty, I see a very hazy picture of myself. Then the mirror is completely cleansed. Then I see a very clear picture of myself. I am the soul and this is my form in the spiritual world. And then when the mirror is completely cleansed, not only do I see myself clearly, but I see who is standing behind me also in the reflection in the mirror. Don't I? I see myself and someone is standing behind me, so I see him also in the mirror. That is the stage of Sakshat Darshan. Where I don't only see me and my Swarupa in the spiritual world, but I see Krishna standing behind me, right? So I get Sakshat Darshan of Krishna. In the Chitta of my consciousness, in the mirror of my consciousness, I see myself. I see my body as the property of Krishna. I see myself as a servant of Krishna. And I see Krishna actually. These are the three darshans which one gets in the Chitta, in the mirror of one's consciousness. Deha Darshan, Atma Swarupa Darshan and Sakshat Darshan. Right? So a Brahmana who is Akinchana, he is very clear because he is practicing Krishna consciousness, he has got Deha Darshan. What is Deha Darshan? Nothing belongs to me. Neither this body, nor the family, nor my money, everything belongs to Krishna. And therefore, I will use everything in service to Krishna. Thus such a Brahmana is Akinchana Mai Bhakti Bhajam. He is not Akinchana in the sense that he is a pauper. He is Akinchana in the sense that he has got Deha Darshan. Body is belonging to Krishna. Property is belonging to Krishna. Family is belonging to Krishna. Not that I don't have it. I have everything. But Mai Bhakti Bhajam. It must all go in service to Krishna. That is a proper Brahmana. That is the spirit of being Akinchana. Not that I don't have anything. But I use everything in service to Krishna. I shall quote a few examples to conclude my talk today. And give examples of how both can be possible. Materially impoverished and not wanting anything and serving Krishna. And wanting things from Krishna and serving Krishna. And both are Akinchana. Right? Someone who does not want anything is Akinchana. And someone who wants something is also Akinchana. What is the factor that decides? Service to Krishna. Mai Bhakti Bhajam. Right. So we have the classic examples in the scripture. We have the example of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj left his home under the guidance of his mother Suniti to get a position greater than his great-grandfather Brahma. On his way, he met Narada Muni. Narada Muni instructed him in the process of devotional service, and by the execution of the principles of devotional service, under the guidance of a spiritual master like Narada, Dhruva Maharaj had Sakshat Darshan. Darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And the Supreme Lord asked him, "My dear Dhruva, what do you want?" What was Dhruva's reply? Dhruva said, "My dear Lord, I was looking after broken pieces of glass. Now I have got a diamond. Swamin kritartho asmi varam na yache." He was showing the quality of Akinchana. I do not want anything. I simply want devotional service to you. And when the Lord said, "But you must ask something, Dhruva," what did Dhruva ask for? He said, "I simply want the association of your devotees." Dhruva later killed several yakshas. And under the guidance of Swayambhuva Manu, he stopped the killing of yakshas. The father of all yakshas, Kuvera, was very pleased with Dhruva. Kuvera is the treasurer of the demigods. all material opulence was now at Dhruva's doorstep. Kuvera was so pleased that you have forgiven my sons the Yakshas. Kuvera came and said to Dhruva, "My dear Dhruva, ask me, what do you want? Whatever you want, I am willing to give you, Dhruva." And Dhruva proved his quality of being akinchananam mai bhakti bhajam. He said, "I do not want anything. I simply want smriti of Krishna. Simply remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna." Right. Of course, the Lord gave him all that opulence to prove the world that anyone who approaches me will definitely get what he wants. But in his heart, Dhruva was perfectly akinchana. He did not want anything material. Was he a born Brahmana? He was a Kshatriya, elevated to the position of a Vaishnava Brahman by Narad Muni's mercy. Prahlad was not even a Kshatriya. Prahlad was born in a Asura clan. Was he a born Brahmana? No. But by the guidance of Narad Muni, by getting the mercy of Narad Muni, when Narsingadev came in front of him and said, "What do you want, Prahlad?" What did he say? "Mama pralobhayotpatya saktam kameshu tairvarai." My dear Lord, I am born in an Asura family. My heart is attached to sense gratification. Please do not tempt me. I do not want anything material. Here was someone who was born Asura, elevated to the position of a Vaishnava Brahmana by Narad Muni. And what happened to him? He proved the quality of being akinchana, not wanting anything from the Lord. Simply mai bhakti bhajam. Maharaj Chitraketu, Narad Muni again, three cases. Born Kshatriya, elevated to Vaishnava Brahmana by Narada. Born Asura, elevated to be a Vaishnava Brahmana by Narada. Chitraketu Maharaj, born as a Kshatriya. But by the guidance of Narad Muni, he saw the Lord, Sankarshan. By chanting the particular mantras, it is explained by Shukdev Goswami, he became Vidyadharapati. He was given a planet of Vidyadharas to rule over. Initially, he was only a planet of a certain kingdom. King of a certain kingdom. Now, he was the king of a whole planet, Vidyadhara Loka. Right. And Srila Prabhupada explains there in the purport that the opulence of a devotee and the opulence of a karmi are different. And Srila Madhvacharya comments there that although the opulence was given by the Lord to Chitraketu Maharaj, Chitraketu Maharaj in his heart did not want anything else except mai bhakti bhajam. He was akinchana. Right. So here we have three examples of those who were not born as a Brahmana, but by the mercy of Narad Muni were elevated to the position of an Vaishnava Brahmana, and they showed the quality of akinchana. We don't want anything, my dear Lord. On the other hand, you have Vaishnavas who are supposed to be akinchana, Brahmana, not wanting anything, and they are saying, "Lord, give us this. Lord, give us that." Right. Srila Prabhupada was in Gorakhpur, and we know that story of the Mayavadi sannyasi. Right. One man was offering some money, and this one man got up and objected, "How can you, a sannyasi, accept money? Look at my spiritual master." He showed this picture of his Mayavadi guru, and the picture was there was money, and he was doing like this. "I don't want money." As if he was great akinchana, right, not wanting anything. Srila Prabhupada told one of his disciples, "Get a huge amount of money in front of me and get a photo camera. I will embrace this money and you click my picture like that I am embracing money." Right. Someone may say, how is he akinchana? Right. Akinchana because he is asking the Lord for this opulence in service to the Lord. There was this mayor of Mumbai who came to see Srila Prabhupada, and he was surprised to see. He came and sat in front of Prabhupada and he was asking questions to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was replying his question, not even looking at him. Prabhupada was answering, but where was he looking? At money. Someone had given a big chunk of money and Prabhupada was counting that money. And he was asking questions, "So what is the goal of life?" And Prabhupada was counting and answering. And this mayor was taken aback by surprise. Sannyasi, counting money and simultaneously preaching. Mayor was taken aback by surprise. And just as the money was finished, Prabhupada called one disciple, Juhu Project. Another disciple, Vrindavan Project. Immediately in a moment's time, the money was gone. All in service to Krishna. That is akinchananam mai bhakti bhajam. Although material opulence, but used in service to Krishna. Rupa Goswami was sitting and thinking, how only I had some nice rice, some nice milk, some opulent foodstuffs. Why? Because he wanted to use it, cook it, and serve a nice feast in service to a Vaishnava. Sanatan Goswami. Is he Akinchan? Thinking I want nice milk, nice rice, nice quality this, nice quality that. Yes, Akinchana. Because it is going in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotee, Sanatan Goswami. Tirumangai Alwar. Wanting so much money. As a matter of fact, his disciples were all thieves. Thousands of thieves were his disciples and they were stealing, looting. But for what purpose? For building a temple in service to the Supreme Lord, Sri Ranganath Dev. Akinchananam Mai Bhakti Bhajam. That is the import of the word Akinchananam Mai Bhakti Bhajam. Not simply that I don't have something. We have examples of those who don't want. And we have examples of those who want. But the criteria which decides them to be Akinchana is service to Lord Sri Krishna and his devotees. So Brahmanas wanting wealth, Vaishnavas wanting wealth to serve Krishna. The second category is, first example I gave was wealth. Akinchana, not wanting wealth and wanting wealth in service to Krishna. Second is body. Prabhupada is saying not only wealth, attachment to any possessions is kinchana. Body. Someone attached to the body and someone detached from the body. We have the example of kings like Mayuradhwaja. Was he a born Brahmana? No. Elevated to be a Brahmana Vaishnav and was willing to sacrifice his body in service to the Lord and the Brahmanas. We have the example of Dadichi Muni, willing to sacrifice his body in service to Indra and the demigods. Giving up the body, Akinchana. On the other hand, we also have the case of Sanatan Goswami, where when he wanted to give up his body, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, this body is not your property. This body is my property and I am the proprietor of this body. It should be used the way I want. Therefore, Prabhupada always said, fire and disease must be immediately tackled. So Vaishnava may seemingly be attached to the body. So is he not Akinchana? He is Akinchana. Why? Because his body is being used in service to Krishna. So either sacrificing the body for a good cause or taking care of the body in service to Krishna is both akinchana, so long as that Mai Bhakti Bhajam factor is taken care of. And finally, someone may be very much attached to family members, son, wife, etc. We have examples of these also in the scriptures. Like Arjuna. When Abhimanyu was killed, Arjuna was crying, lamenting. Okay. How can we say that he was akinchana? Because he was lamenting for his son. Seems like he's attached. No. He was extremely detached. The proof is, he continued fighting the war for Krishna. Dronacharya, on the other hand, was so attached to his son Ashwatthama. As soon as Ashwatthama was killed, Dronacharya gave up fighting and gave up his life. So he was a Brahmana, supposed to be Akinchana. But Arjuna, who was Kshatriya, proved that he was Akinchana. Continued fighting, not being attached to his son's death. For some time he lamented, but he was Akinchana, detached completely. On the other hand, we have an example of being attached to family members and still being Akinchana, the example of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Gopal Bhatta Goswami that your mother and your father are Vaishnavas, serve them properly till they are in this world and then come and join me. So here is an example of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who is serving the family members, attached to his mother and father who are Vaishnavas, and still is Akinchana because he is Mai Bhakti Bhajam, serving the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, serving the Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, the real understanding of this word Akinchana is not that being immaterially impoverished. It is in spirit. And Rishabhdev is making it very clear. Simply materially impoverished doesn't make you a Brahmana. Brahmana means Mai Bhakti Bhajam. So one may have material possessions, one may not have material possessions. Either, whatever the case may be, if one is engaged in service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, that is the stage of being a perfect Vaishnav Brahmana. And that is the sum and substance of this particular verse. So to summarize what we discussed today, in the first point we discussed how Indra said material opulence brings you asura bhav. Kunti Maharani says material opulence leads mada or pride. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, Maya Vaibhav gives obstacles in one's bhajan. Therefore, we said that a Brahmana keeps himself in voluntary poverty. Giving the example of the Brahmana and Raja Krishnachandra, right? Not wanting any material opulence. Or there was once upon a time not a rich Brahmana or a poor, but a poor Brahmana always. Right? But the main idea is not just poverty. The main idea is service to Krishna. Mai Bhakti Bhajam. And then we discussed about Smartas, how they follow the principles but they do not have Smriti. They follow Smriti Shastras but no Smriti of the Lord. Giving the story of Udayanand Prabhu, we explained how the purpose is not just following the rule but actually the essence and serving Guru and Krishna. Then we concluded by saying that one who is in the spirit of Akinchana is a true Akinchana. Deha Darshan, Atma Darshan and Sakshat Darshan. Deha Darshan is the first step. Everything belongs to Krishna and that is the spirit of being Akinchana. Everything belongs to Krishna, it must be used in service to Krishna. So we gave examples of wealth, body and family members. Those who were attached to and those who were detached from. But both were Akinchana because they were Mai Bhakti Bhajam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki Srila Prabhupada ki Gaura Premanande.